We made it, guys. It's episode 10 of the Insert Credit Podcast, the All Editor-in-Chief Special Edition. Please welcome Brandon Sheffield, Editor-in-Chief of InsertCredit.com.
Sports.
Kim Rogers, Editor-in-Chief of ActionButton.net.
Oh man, that's me.
Frank Zifaldi, Editor-in-Chief of LostLevels.org.
I suppose that's true.
And Stephen Totolo, Editor-in-Chief of Kotaku.
Whoa!
You mispronounced his name.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, you did.
You totally did.
It's Totillo.
Totillo?
You totally mispronounced his name.
I specifically looked up an online pronunciation guide of Totillo before the show, and that's how I heard it.
What's wrong?
You got it mixed up with the Totodile.
My neighbor Totillo. Okay.
And joining us, Stephen Totodile.
Stephen Totillo. Stephen, my neighbor Totillo.
All right.
That was a good one, Frank.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that. We should call
that's
this.
A keeper. Keep that. Don't edit that out.
Yeah, we're going to keep that one. Oh, we don't edit anything. That's why we have such a strict schedule.
I'm your host, Alex Gorblax Jaffe, editor-in-chief of gorblax.livejournal.com.
Yes. That's good. That's real good.
Now, Steven, from what I understand, Kotaku is some kind of video game news blog which updates not once but several times a month.
Yeah, we do like 3 stories a month. We only publish Tim Rogers.
I'm on there sometimes.
Yeah. This is just the vast network of Tim Rogers outlets for musings on how video games smell.
I haven't been on LostLevels.org yet.
Yet. Taking that by storm.
I'm going to rain all over it.
Have you been on Jaffe's blog yet?
Yeah.
Come on.
Deep blog.
Yeah, I'll be on there. Have you guys seen Jaffe's Tumblr? He's got a Tumblr.
I've got a Tumblr now.
It's lists of stuff. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Now, Stephen, you've listened to this podcast before, right?
No, because I am living in the past in podcasts. I am up to June in podcasting history. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys weren't doing this in June, were you?
No, that's true. We only started recently.
Just this morning.
We just started doing podcasts this morning.
Just this morning, I was listening to the final day of E3 Giant Bombcast, which is like 3 hours. And this is why I was so excited to be on this podcast, because you guys know when to cut things off, right?
Exactly.
This is an efficient, lean podcast.
That's what we're all about.
Let me tell you a little bit more about that. I'm going to throw 10 things at you, 10 topics, 10 questions.
I can take it.
None of you have ever heard any of them before. One of them is from a listener. The others I made up. And at the end, we're going to have a rapid-paced lightning round. We can begin with question one as soon as you guys are ready. Are you guys?
I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Do it.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. Bad news, guys. A burglar has stolen all of your video games and video game systems.
Oh, God darn.
I don't like it.
Fortunately.
No.
Hold on, there's good news. you have a $1,000 GameStop gift card, which expires at the end of the week. How do you spend
it? Oh, my God. First of all, this isn't true, right? Because I'm hyperventilating. Should I stop hyperventilating?
Okay. No, you should not. This is a real scenario, not hypothetical.
All right, Jaffe, here's what I do.
Find the gift card.
$1,000.
I'm going to sell this gift card to a kid for $600. And I'm going to buy a gun, and I'm going to blow my goddamn brains out.
You don't need no $600 for no gun.
I want a really nice one.
Yeah, really, he really wants his head just gone.
You would
just destroyed.
You would die if you had no video games.
No, of course not. But I would
I mean, subscribe to Game Informer. Like a lot of, I would get a lot of Game Informer subscriptions. Like, how many could you get?
It's $15 for a year of Game Informer.
Right. So
do the long division.
That's not bad.
What's 1,000 divided by 15?
You could subscribe. Six. You could subscribe like 85 friends to Game Informer.
You could subscribe for 66 2/3 years.
You could be the Game Informer for all your friends.
That's
Game
what Informer. I would do. I would have all this misery because I'd have lost my game. So what would I want to do? I would want to make other people happy in order to make myself feel better and. Giving the gift of Game Informer is the best gift you can give.
That's right.
Good old Game Informer. You want to get people game informed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's totally. What I want to do.
I'd go for quantity. I'd go for quantity, and I would buy every PlayStation 2 game that is $5 or less, which is what I do at GameStop anyway.
Science. Oh, by the sleeve, yeah.
Dragon Guard 2.
Madden 90, whatever. Madden 2000.
And there was no Madden 90, nothing on no PlayStation 2.
There might have been. They might have gone back.
I actually went to a GameStop just the other week and purchased myself NHL 01.
Yeah, that's
an HOTGAM is what that is.
Now, would you like to buy 1,000 of those? Because you can in our scenario.
Yeah, it was 99 cents. I could have bought 1,000 copies of that game.
I'm going to tell you guys what seriously happened. I lost all my video games because I moved abruptly in such a way as to no longer have my fetishistically cultivated PlayStation 2 collection, which included God Hand and Garouden and stuff. And what I did was... I bought an Xbox 360, Red Dead Redemption, GTA 4, L.A. Noire, and Bully. Believe it or not, that's what I did. And I thought, I've got all my bases covered here.
Then you drank Rockstar Energy Drink as you played them.
I did. Actually, here's the hilarious part. I've ended up acquiring a couple dozen more games since then. This was like 2 years ago, like right when L.A. Noire had come out. I ended up acquiring several dozen more games, but I still have not opened L.A. Noire or Red Dead Redemption or Bully. They're just sitting on my shelf.
I think what I might do is spend all that money on... I'd get a PlayStation 3, spend that money on PlayStation Network points, and then I could get a whole bunch of PlayStation 1 games. So at least I would have... considering I live in the past, at least I could have some history. Oh, yeah, and I guess you can play theoretically you can play some old games on the Wii. Some people have told me that that's possible to do.
Yeah. But you've got to have your controller plugged into a controller, which has batteries in it. And you've got to have, like, that Wiimote is, like, sitting on the sofa cushion next to you, just kind of looking at you while you're playing games.
I know this might go against the whole insert credit ethos and whatnot, but I'm very anti-nostalgia.
That's
and I
cool.
actually – I always try to cull – my gaming collection as much as I can.
Oh,
so I'm actually happier the fewer games I have. Like if I can whittle it down, and I have the dream of always. I try to keep them all on just one shelf. Now if I could have the best possible group of games on that shelf, and then it kind of got messed up because when you're an editor in chief, I don't know, fellow editors in chief may know this. When you're an editor in chief, you start to get a bunch of games sent to you. So
all
the time. You have no idea. My room is piled up. With the
Scrooge
games
McDuck,
I get to review on goreblacks.livejournal.com.
You've got a Scrooge McDuck like vault full of games, I'm sure. Because
swimming in them.
Yeah. But the other thing is
what are those games, dude? What is that ideal shelf? That's what I want to know.
What is that shelf?
The shelf has been overflowing at this point, and now with downloaded games, it's kind of like they're kind of cheap. But
Virtual
Tim
shelf.
Mentioned God Hand and Bully, and God Hand and Bully would both be on the shelf.
That's an excellent number of games to put.
But there would be no 8-bit games. There would be – and I had an NES. Yeah, no. And I think like the only 16-bit games I would have on there would be Yoshi's Island and like Super Metroid. I think that's all I need.
Those are good ones.
Look, DuckTales or GTFO, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to have
and Ziggurat, of course.
You got to have Ziggurat on there.
That doesn't go on a shelf.
It's on my shelf.
Unless you have an iPhone just with Ziggurat on it.
Yeah, that's what I've got. And I've got a special stand that leaves it turned on.
At all times.
Actually, I wish I kind of did have that.
I did the calculations. You can buy approximately 76 pre-owned copies of God Hand with $1,000.
And then you give those out to your friends.
Absolutely.
Or your enemies, then make them your friends.
Yeah, or give them to every game developer you know and make them put away their school books. And and here's the real. This is your PhD curriculum, chump. You know, just drive up to any game development studio in the area and leave a couple copies of God Hand there.
I would definitely buy some of those HD HD shrieks.
Shriekings.
Shrieks it is.
Go for it.
And that is the signal to move on right to our second topic, which is this.
What is it?
Next month, the DualShock controller will turn 15 years old.
Nice.
Which games have most innovatively used the two joystick layout?
Ape Escape 3.
Ape Escape 3?
Yeah, Ape Escape 3 was, well, it was like Ape Escape 1 and Ape Escape 2, but it felt really, really great. It has the, it's a DualShock 2 game. But for example, one of my favorite like brain candy exercises done with two joysticks, like the right stick in Ape Escape is always for your weapons. So they're multi-directional, and there's a remote-controlled car. It's one of the weapons. And so you're just moving it around. It's like a second player character that the camera doesn't follow. So you're running around, and you can control this remote-controlled car, have it go different directions. Like maybe you need to hit like a series of switches, but you also need the remote-controlled car to hit a series of switches that like mirror the ones you're hitting. So you've got to do these weird formations. And it was just – in Ape Escape 1, they didn't use it quite as virtuosically as they used it in Ape Escape 3. So Ape Escape 3 is the DualShock champion. In my book,
innovative doesn't have to mean good, I presume. So
no, it was innovative and good.
I'm going to go with Stretch Panic.
Oh, SP,
where you've got a left stick controls a little character, right stick controls the scarf of that character, so that you can use that scarf. It's a demonic scarf. It can do stuff. You can pick at any part of the game environment, and you can snap giant booby ladies' bra straps so that they float off into infinity.
Snapping.
Yep, and it's a real weird game, but that actually was kind of a neat idea. But I don't know, like Halo was a real good one.
I'm going to go what I thought was the obvious answer, which is Katamari Damacy.
That's a good one, but that's nothing that wasn't done in Namco's Cyber Sled in the arcade.
But the Cyber Sled didn't have a DualShock, so suck it.
It had two sticks, GD it.
That's not DualShock, okay? DualShock.
Didn't shock you twice.
Attention. I mean, by that
shock
argument...
Shocked
by that argument, we're going to call a Robotron a DualShock game. No. DualShock.
Do you guys think that... Well, the Cyber Sled felt kind of DualShocky because they were two analog sticks that go in multiple directions and there are triggers on them.
Shut up.
Whoa! So do you guys think that Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns should just be called Final Fantasy 13 DualShock?
I think so.
Maybe.
As our former fearless leader, George Bush, once said, Shock me once, shame on you.
Shock me once, shock me twice, shame on video games.
Can I answer this question from the future?
Yeah,
is that
sure.
allowed?
Go for it.
All right. Well, in the future, some date in November, we'll have the privilege of playing a video game called Nintendo Land. And in Nintendo Land, nested within it, will be a game called Animal Crossing Sweet Day.
Well, I played that.
And this game will allow you, from a top-down perspective, to control two Animal Crossing guards, one with each analog stick. Move the left guard with the left stick, move the other guard with the right stick. You're trying to catch some people stealing fruit from trees that are controlled by other players. And there's a whole thing where you're learning how to move each guy with kind of hands are independent of each other. And the more you move them away from each other, these two guards, the camera zooms out. You can see more. So you actually have a strategic advantage, but it's more confusing to control these guys when they're sort of at the periphery of your little Wii U screen. Great.
I had this idea
I'm pretty sure that was an arcade game in one of the Grand Theft Autos.
When you said Animal Crossing Guard, I imagined kind of the most adorable scenario of a dude holding little signs that ducklings could cross the street. I want to play that game.
I'd hug that.
Yeah.
Like, I had this idea for a game called – that's a game concept that's been on the table for a while called War and Peace. This is an action button entertainment game concept. It is based on the book War and Peace, but it is also a top-down two-stick game where left stick controls red guy. Right, and right stick controls blue guy. Red guy can kill blue enemies, and blue guy can kill red enemies by touching them. Right, so
it's right.
You're kind of moving.
Tim, you know why you should make that? Because then you can make a sequel, call it War and Peace 2, and blow people's minds.
Yes, yes. I think I might even actually make it. You can call it War and Peace 2. Here's a little tidbit: the working title for No More Heroes was Taxi Driver 2. No joke.
Really?
Yeah.
So didn't you say that in the last podcast? I'm pretty sure you
did.
No, I don't think so.
I think I've mentioned it to you in person before.
Okay.
I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast.
So which one is Warren, the red guy or the blue guy?
It's about Warren Spector, so And then there's Warren Spector is the one guy. And then,
but I do think Halo, not innovative innovation wise, but in terms of making a console schlubs figure out how to enjoy a first person shooter in an efficient and good feeling way. That's
definitely the most comfortable use of the DualShock.
And the goddarn Warthog driving controls were just impeccable.
Are we just going to talk about that every time?
Yeah.
It is. We're talking about every time.
It is a video game milestone, that Warthog.
I honestly don't think the Warthog controls are that fantastic.
Well, guess what?
No.
Guess what?
I won't.
Guess what? You're a noob.
Oh, I thought he was kidding. Yeah, they're terrible. What are you talking about, Sam?
You think they're terrible? What?
Nap.
But what's terrible about the
They're
Warthog
awful.
Controls?
Put that coffee down, Stephen Totillo.
You don't, actually.
Oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. That Warthog is the bomb.
Oh, no! We're going to have to take that fight outside after the podcast. For now, we're moving on to topic number three.
Number three.
Has a video game ever made you cry?
No.
No.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden. The birds and Ninja Gaiden, they just kept hitting me just as I was jumping. And so I just was like, what do you want? I was like, just please, God.
I feel like a video game has made me wistful.
Sure.
But that ain't crying.
What happens to Brandon Sheffield when he's wistful?
Contemplative. What is
this Halo again? Are we talking about Halo again?
Yeah, we're talking about
specifically the controls of the Warthog.
Right, as soon as he stepped in the Warthog for the first time.
This was Bonk's Revenge that I was playing.
Yes.
I think it was Bonk 3.
No, I don't think so. But, there's a greater likelihood of it happening if I'm on a plane, because I don't know if you know, but when you're on a plane, you're obviously way high up in the air and there's less oxygen for you and stuff. And so you have a greater propensity toward drunkenness for one thing, if you drink any alcohol while up there. And for another thing, emotion having.
Your juices are more pressurized up there too. So
yeah.
Word out with like.
I want to speak on defense of video games though for a second and say that I don't think any movie has ever made me cry either. Wistful perhaps, tear up perhaps, but I consider crying to be tears falling.
Like
right?
Actual tears falling.
Yeah, watery eyes I don't think counts as crying.
You're a monster, Totoro.
Yeah.
Has a video game ever made you misty?
Misty?
Actually, you know, my neighbor Totolo actually almost made me misty when I was younger.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
That movie
Pokemon Blue made
Cat
me
Bus.
Misty.
Cat Bus is sad. Just...
Cat Bus, bro.
Porco Rosso makes me sort of wistful because it makes me remember when I was a pig who had an airplane.
Oh, yeah, those were the days.
Hey Brandon, Porco Rosso is playing this weekend in San Francisco at some movie theater. Do you want to go see it?
I go into San Francisco.
So, the proud tradition of Tim inviting Brandon to movies on this podcast continues.
I would have not remembered it otherwise. Anyway, keep going.
The end of Silent Hill 2 made me misty.
Really?
Nice.
The walking down the hallway thing, yeah.
You mean the fog? How there's so much fog in those games?
Yeah, that's how.
That make you
walk down the hallway, dude.
Yeah, Advance Wars also made me misty because of all the fog of war there.
Yeah, Warcraft. Walking down the hallway in Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, you finished the game, right?
I actually haven't, no.
When you walk down that hallway, you have a box of tissues nearby, right?
I sort of despise those games, to be perfectly honest.
Ash from Pokemon made me misty. Is that a good joke?
I already made that joke.
Oh, you did? Dang it.
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
You weren't listening.
You gotta be paying attention instead of whatever the heck it is you are doing over
there. Hey, listen. I just got off a plane from Korea like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, I've been awake for like 48 hours, too.
I knew you were going to say that sort of a thing, but listen.
I did some push-ups.
How many hours you've been awake does not change my ability to be awake right now.
Yeah, you could have slept on the plane. You jump.
I did. I did do it.
Should have brought.
I want to say there was a sad moment in Gears of War 3, which I just finished this past weekend.
Was it when you didn't finish the fight yet? It was before you finished the fight?
I still haven't finished that game, believe it or not.
Well, there's some sadness coming in the middle, and they even bust out the Tears for Fears.
Oh, it's
instrumental. Instrumental.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm digging that.
Yeah, I actually had a computer when I was young and I played Planetfall and I sent Floyd the Robot to his death, that might have made me cry, but I didn't have a computer and I never played that game, so there you go.
So no games have invoked tears, but one game has invoked Tears for Fears.
Yes.
Yes.
Actual tears for fears. Were the tears afraid of themselves, or were the tears for the fears?
The tears supported fears.
I ain't for 'em, I'm agin 'em.
Fear supporting tears. The game Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals, made me feel really sad toward the end. There was, yeah, Tufia. Lufia 2 made me feel really sad at one part in the end. And keep in mind, when I played it, I was really, really fat, and I'd never touched a woman at that point. So I was prone to that.
I would have darn cried too myself.
I was prone to that feeling. I feel real sad when I read certain books, like literature, you know? Like, but I don't know about, I don't want to get into that. But Lufia 2, Rise of the Sinistrals, really, really good narrative hook about halfway through the game that really gets you. And then right near the end, there's another one. It's kind of a 1-2 punch with like 10, 15 hours between the punches. I liked that. So then when I played Final Fantasy VII.
It makes them easier to absorb.
Yeah, it makes it, but it's like super slow motion punches. So when I played Final Fantasy VII and Aeris died, I was like, yeah, what if? You know?
Has it really not been 6 minutes?
It's going to be 6 minutes in about 30 seconds.
It's been 5.5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we also answered the question, and the answer is no.
Yeah. Okay. The answer is no, but I wouldn't be too sad if a game did make me cry. Let's go ahead.
Can I share it? Can I squeeze in 15 seconds?
Yeah, do it. Quick.
End of one of the Mario and Luigi games, kind of sweet. Princess Peach, she bakes a cake for Bowser. Not a Misty moment.
That's fantastic.
Well, that's
kind
adorable.
Of awesome.
That is adorable.
Is it the third?
That is so adorable that we're going to move on to the next question without sounding the horrifying buzzer.
Excellent.
Wahoo! What are the most embarrassing comments you've seen on an online video game article?
Oh, my lord.
Whoa!
Mine.
I don't know anything about that.
That's a brain buffet right there. I can't even. You just called like a huge. I got a very large selection of things just cramming in my brain right now.
Okay, can it be a forums thread as opposed to an article?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys remember, but when Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out, it exposed a whole lot of racism among your typical white boy video game player.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Scary.
Please explain.
Well, a lot of people were just like, what's with all this rap music? You know, I don't like this black music in my video games. I actually saw some of that, but that's not the most embarrassing comment. The most embarrassing in one of these threads that I saw about how white people didn't like all the blackness of San Andreas was someone commented, these might be the exact words, I can't believe what they did to Tainted Love. And the version of Tainted Love in San Andreas is, in fact, the original version of Tainted Love, I believe by Gloria Jones, if I'm not mistaken. Does anyone know?
Tainted Love?
Yeah.
Tainted Love.
Isn't it Gloria Jones?
What? Gloria Jones? Who the heck is Gloria Jones?
Am I wrong about that?
I don't
think it was originally recorded by Gloria Jones in 1965. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Yes. So the original version is in San Andreas by a black woman there. And
BW. Yeah.
And the most embarrassing comment I've ever seen was someone questioning what this black person had done to his white song.
That's pretty good. That's actually really good. I just posted a link in the chat here. You guys don't have to click it if you don't want to. This is recent. It's from June 20th, 2012. It's an interview with Kim Swift on the occasion of the release of Quantum Conundrum on the Steam.
I'm embarrassed already just because it's going to be a Kim Swift.
Yeah, it's IGN. It's a well-written, well-conducted interview. And most of the comments are just right – you know, not even like comment number three. The creative portal is a girl. She's kind of cute. And then it's the next comment. I think she is one of the most beautiful females in the gaming community as a gamer and developer. And her games are extremely beautiful and technical. I hope more females enter the gaming industry and build these unique experiences. That's the comment that It's by Psycho underscore PS3 Truth with two H's.
Oh, God! Yep.
Double H Truth Psycho PS3.
I think that video game just made me cry.
And the reply to him is by someone with a, like,
wow,
Sonic
dude,
Hedgehog.
Wow, dude. Yeah.
Zanri Fang, which seems to be some kind of Sonic fan character.
And then he says again, there is not perverted statement is in what I say in society. So there you go.
What is with the wow, haha? She is beautiful woman that makes beautiful games.
Listen, guys, I really, really want to hear from Steven on this.
I don't know anything about this kind of thing. As editor-in-chief of Kotaku, the only comments I ever see are positive, constructive, well-thought-through comments. Take, for example, on the articles of one Tim Rogers.
Well-thought-out
discourses, engaging Tim with the core topics, the ethical conundrums that he discusses within his articles. It's all quite enlightened and fancy and special. Nothing embarrassing at all. Why?
Oh, no. Well, I'm glad you think so highly of your charges. You must have the best audience on the internet.
This morning, just this morning, the morning that we're recording this, I wrote an article, an in-depth examination into the art of making a timeline for the Super Mario games.
Yeah, that was
That blew my mind.
I wish somebody immediately commented, hey, this article blew my mind. No, the comments were TLDR, TL semicolon DR, too long. Something more like, just shut up and enjoy the games, et cetera.
Yeah, the whole shut up and enjoy the game comment is just, oh, God.
Yeah, there's definitely that frequent comment of, why bother doing anything at all? Just play the game or don't.
Why don't you shut up and enjoy the game comment?
If I may plug a vanity project I've been working on, for the past few years, I've been putting together a fictional timeline of the setting of every video game that has ever been made. On an ADBC timescale. So I've done quite a bit of research into Mario, and this was really eye-opening for me.
That's fantastic. That's a more interesting response than my favorite response to that article so far, which is a commenter saying, fuck the police.
All right.
Coming straight from the underground.
So wait, Tilo, are you then the police? Is that who you are? Are they seeing you as the cops? Like you're the fun cops?
No, they just don't like that band.
Yeah.
They just really,
I really don't know.
Like, man, Sting, Fields of Gold.
That Roxanne song is definitely overplayed.
I agree.
I think that's what NWA was angry about, though. They weren't angry about like police brutality. They were angry about the order of the Super Mario games.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
I can't believe this guy included the Game & Watch game Donkey Kong Hockey. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really happy.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So I've been reading a lot of Steam Greenlight comments for the past couple of days, and I don't know if this counts, but the Steam Greenlight comments that blow my mind. I was looking at Incredipede, which is a neat game, which apparently is now approved or something. I think it's like one of the first games that got approved, or don't quote me on that, but because I see enough people going, yay, I can pre-order it now or whatever. The end.
Do it.
Topic number 5.
Yes.
What can we, the viewers, expect from the upcoming Metal Gear Solid movie?
Yeah!
Boredom.
Upcoming? It's never going to be made. What are you talking about? What?
Oh, sure it'll be made. Video game movies that are announced get made all the time.
Like the Halo one.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like the Halo one and the Bioshock one and the Kane and Lynch one.
What can we expect from the Halo
movie? The Metroid one. Batman one.
You know what we can expect from the Halo movie? Excellent Warthog controls.
Yeah.
All right, here's seriously what we'll expect from the Metal Gear Solid movie is a really blurry picture because we can't see past our tears.
Oh! It's going to be all wavy like gravy.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible to see the screen. It's going to be like it'll be like there's Vaseline on the lens of the camera.
Oh,
it's
and going to teach us Marilyn to fear. Kiss will happen also.
It's going to teach us to fear our tears.
We can expect a lot of lines of dialogue spoken to Snake, and then Snake repeats the last two words of the dialogue with a question mark and an exclamation point.
Oh, no, I got it. I got it, guys.
What?
Surprising everyone, this 2-hour movie will only be about 2 minutes of movie, and the rest will all be gameplay.
I'm pretty sure that's the joke. I'm pretty sure that's the joke everybody made on the Kotaku news post.
Uh-oh. Stephen Totillo, editor-in-chief of Kotaku.com, busted on plagiarism.
You think I read the comments? Do you think I read the comments on our site?
Stephen Totillo is stealing from the commenters he just got done making fun of.
Stealing Totillo.
That's pretty bold and hard. Like
yeah.
Snake.
No, so, really, I respect you for that. That is core.
So people keep saying that Snake is going to be played by Christian Bale or Hugh Jackman or whatever. It's freaking Sean Bean, man. Like, duh. Right? For God's sake, you bunch of noobs. It's going to be Sean Bean, man.
I don't know who that is.
It's going to be Gerard Depardieu.
Gerard Depardieu is pretty cool.
I assume that anyone I've never heard of was someone who was on Lost.
that's a good assumption.
Christian Bale is Batman.
Kurt Russell. Come on.
I made a great tweeter joke about this a couple days ago, if I can repeat that. The tweeter joke I made was that halfway through the Metal Gear Solid movie, there will be a Psycho Mantis scene that loops infinitely until you switch theaters.
That got like 100 retweets, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
That was Jaffe's first 100 retweet tweet.
Good job. Yeah. I don't understand what any of the things mean that you just said. So
Psycho Mantis boss battle, kind of a good use of the DualShock controller. Hmm?
Brandon, there was a battle against a guy named Psycho Mantis who was psychic, and at one point in the battle he becomes invincible, right? And the only way to beat him is to unplug your controller and plug it into controller port 2. And then you can hurt him again.
That's a cute thing.
And then you have to do it, you have to switch it back later. So you have
he can make the controller vibrate, right? And wasn't the DualShock one of the things, the DualShock, that it had the vibration in it?
Yeah, it did have a shock, right? Yeah, he would be like, put your controller on the floor, watch this. And then the controller starts to vibrate. He's like, I'm moving your controller.
Except it wasn't really moving. It was just kind of standing there vibrating.
He's a liar. That's
yeah,
that.
It was just, well, he's making it kind of jiggle a bit.
He's a villain. Of course he's not going to tell you the truth. He's evil.
So wait, who did Kojima say was his Dreamcast for the Metal Gear Solid movie? He said...
Dreamcast!
So he said that Hugh Jackman was who he wanted to be
the biggest of all Ackman.
Yeah, because that guy, I've seen a lot of Ackman before.
And yeah, he is the hugest Ackman.
I'm glad you explained that for me. Thank you.
It's like I feel like if Hugh Jackman plays Snake, it's a bad thing because he can't play more than one video game hero in his life. And I always thought he was a shoo-in for Pac-Man. So are they going to have to get Gene Hackman to play Pac-Man?
Yeah.
Hey, come on.
Kojima should play, because he's the only he's the only person who really wants this movie to be made. I think everybody else can live without it. Kojima as Snake.
He's probably the only person who can read the dialogue out loud, too, that is going to end up being written for the movie.
Oh, David Hayter's a script writer. Maybe he could write the script for Metal Gear Solid.
I wouldn't trust David Hayter to write a thank you note for me. I'm just hating. Get it?
You're hating on the hater.
Yeah, I'm a hater.
Didn't we make this joke too last podcast?
Didn't say hater though.
Look, it's not repetition. It's establishing continuity.
Iteration.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Farmville too.
Here, I'll iterate it. I've heard that in the future, haters gonna hate. So we should watch
it. Okay, so I'm thinking this whole Metal Gear Solid movie is. Everybody in the press is covering it. I'm looking through a bunch of articles right now. They're covering it in an embarrassing fashion where here's a huge article that's like, look at this guy who looks exactly like this guy in Metal Gear Solid. Yeah, that's definitely got to be him. You know, it's like that's what they're basing all of this on, is the guy looks exactly like the guy. It's like that's it.
That's how acting works. Well, that's
how you're going to cast the movie.
That is how casting works in Japan. So
yeah, well, these are all English-speaking Englishers.
Yeah, but it'll be funded by probably the Japan.
Yeah,
directed by the Japan, because
why is everybody assuming it's going to be based on the first Metal Gear Solid movie? Is that how it is? Oh man,
this movie.
This article says Sean Bean as Liquid Snake. No, Sean Bean should be Solid Snake.
But it's the same guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And it starts with, as long as he can keep the Yorkshire accent.
Yorkshire pudding.
As long as he can keep the Yorkshire pudding. That's the end of the first half of our podcast. We'll be right back after this break while listener Baramos addresses a previous question. Were there any GameCube games with good voice acting?
That's a great question. I'd like to know.
When I heard the question, which GameCube game has the best voice acting, in Episode 7, one game sprang immediately to mind, Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. Eternal Darkness is easily my favorite game for the GameCube. Not only did it have amazing gameplay mechanics that played mind games with you, such as turning the volume up and down on the TV, or pretending to reset itself, pretending to erase your game save or have your character die, only to reappear walking around on the ceiling, it also had an epic story featuring 12 disparate characters from various time periods and locations as they attempt to stop a Lovecraftian horror from invading and destroying our universe. It was one of the few GameCube games to tell a cinematic story with full voice acting. Few games managed to make me care about the plight of the characters in them, but the voice actors in this one managed to sell it. When a character is put into an insane asylum, killed, or otherwise removed from this plane, it manages to have real weight. And that's why I consider it to be the GameCube game with the best voice acting.
Totillo, if you look into the chat thing,
yeah.
I sent an animated GIF thing, which is what you should do in the case of those podcast troubles.
Yeah, that's absolutely what should happen.
This is important horse information. These are horses or goats?
Goats.
Not, look at the size of the guy. How could this?
look at your goddamn reference point.
Little horses. I'm sorry, I got horses on the mind because we did a big horse PlayStation Home story today, and by big story I mean animated GIF of the horse masks, horse heads that you can now buy in PlayStation Home.
Can I do my intro now, please?
Yeah.
I think she's one of the most beautiful females in the gaming community. I asked Kim Swift if she wants to be on the podcast, and she said yes, by the way.
We're aware. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Welcome back to the Insert Credit Podcast. I'm your host,
thanks,
Alex Gorblax Jaffe, and joining me this week are Frank Zivaldi.
Deal with it.
Tim Rogers.
DWI.
Brendan Sheffield.
It's so nice to be here.
And Steven, my neighbor, Totillo.
TLDR.
Let's get right back into it with question 6.
TLDL.
What are the biggest mistakes to avoid when designing a dungeon?
When designing a dungeon, first of all, I've discovered that you just don't want to leave the key lying around. You just don't want it. If you put somebody in there, you don't hide a key somewhere so they can just get out.
Yeah, or if there's a door that only opens if you light two torches, you don't put it in a room with a fire pit.
Yeah. You don't put it in a room with a fire pit and then two extinguished torches.
Yeah,
I was thinking more from a game design perspective, but I guess this works too.
I have an opinion, which is that one of the biggest mistakes to avoid is making everything look the same, because, man, I'm the kind of person that in video games gets very easily lost and could have a mini map at all times to know that I have actually investigated all of the locations. So actually having some variance to the environment would be super nice. And
you know what's great at doing that? Castlevania is great at doing that.
Oh, I agree with you there. That's why I've beaten every Castlevania, every Metroidvania. I've beaten all of them legitimately just by playing it from the start to the finish.
Can we stop calling them Metroidvanias? Call them Adventure Castlevanias. Let's start calling them that.
That's a lot longer than what I said.
Yeah. It sounds sophisticated, though.
It ain't sophisticated.
There's more to Metroid than a large world that you explore. End.
Tim.
What?
Deal with it.
can we call them Adventurevanias?
No, adventure what? Format Castlevanias.
Why are we slighting Metroid for Castlevania when Metroid's the better series?
We're not slighting Metroid.
Wait. Can I do that? Can I slate Metroid when say Castlevania is a better series?
What don't you like about Metroid, Brandon?
I like that it's not as interesting as Castlevania.
Deal with it. It's not supposed to be interesting. It's about being in a world and crying a lot. about being lonely is what it's about.
Samus was very emotional in the most recent Metroid.
Metroid Other M is the only video game I've made cry.
Look, oh yes. Look, it's not actually Other M. It's pronounced Metroid Otherm.
Otherm, yes.
It's Irish.
I have an actual answer, which is that if the dungeon requires you to like get an item to get past a certain thing and it's somewhere in the dungeon, make it really obvious that I'm missing a key thing so I'm not just like rubbing against walls and trying to figure it out for a long time.
Yeah. I played this game called Pierre Solar, which was...
Genesis game?
Yeah, it's an original Genesis game made from scratch that came out like 2-3 years ago. And there was one bit where a thing that you absolutely had to do to progress was to go around all these kind of like sliding platforms, and while sliding along on the back of one of those, you needed to hit a button that was on the back of one of the pillars that you passed at a certain point. And that was just part of a chain of other platforms you had to get to that were already kind of maze-like. So at one point in that sequence, you had to hit something that was invisible to your eye, and we're supposed to somehow just find that out, and they're like, yeah, it's old school, so that's what it was like, and so that's good, but that's not what's good.
Not what it was like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it was, but it wasn't like that in any game that was actually good.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think it was actually like that. I don't remember it really being like that.
I think that that is good, so it's kind of the opposite of avoiding, but whatever, is having things to do in the dungeon other than just walk around and hit switches and do things. Like,
I think
Super Nintendo Zelda games had some pretty good stuff, what with their...
they had so many fun little things.
Yeah, the
pits,
little rope.
And springs and... Yeah. Enemies that bounce off of the springs when you hit them, and then enemies you have to hit from behind. And
yeah, they had a little bit of the...
it was a goddamn playground.
The Indiana Jones thing going on in there, and that's a pretty great thing to do. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that happening in like the first dungeon you're in Wild Arms. You get that boulder.
Running with a boulder behind you?
Some other crap. They didn't really live up to that promise, but that initial dungeon experience was like, yeah... A cool thing is happening.
I think
I'm going to make a controversial statement right now.
Let's
warning
hear it.
You. I'm like those people in Mass Effect who tell you the emotion before they tell you what they're going to say.
Renegade.
Renegade.
No. Those aliens, like, they talk slowly and they... Whatever.
Anyway. Go for it.
A mistake would be to make your dungeon randomized. I don't get the whole thing when people like randomized dungeons in games.
When the dungeon is the whole game.
Yeah, I agree.
Then it makes sense. And also, if the game has really confident action mechanics or really confident mathematics behind it, then randomization is okay.
I don't know. I mean, Dark Cloud 2, that had randomization, right? And that might be the one that I actually might have tolerated, but... Most of the randomized stuff, I just feel like I'm being put into a math problem, and I'm so aware of it, and I just know that being now rationed out, like, okay, we need to get him X amount of XP.
God darn it.
Before I move on to the next question, I just want to say, what is wrong with feeling like you're in a math problem? That sounds like the best thing.
I hate it.
Okay. Number 7. How can the Tony Hawk series stage a comeback?
What?
First-person shooter.
Dungeons.
Random dungeons.
Yeah.
Didn't they kind of stage a comeback with that Tony Hawk HD that people actually bought?
Actually,
kind of a comeback.
Actually, randomized dungeons is fantastic. Can you imagine a Tony Hawk with random levels that you have to get out of?
And yeah, that'd be pretty good.
It's like endless, and you're just trying to escape.
I want it to literally be a dungeon, though. I want you to be skating in like a skate park dungeon.
That's exactly what I want.
Episode of the cartoon show Rocket Power where the kids are trying to find Tony Hawk, and they go into Tony Hawk's warehouse, and it's this huge dungeonized just ridiculous skate park.
He has a warehouse?
So what you're saying is...
Verts and loops in order to get to Tony Hawk.
The subconscious minds of the children of the present are ready for this game already.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and get it out there. Tony Hawk's Dungeon Escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Combine Hawk, it with... Make Tony Warhawk and have it a flying skating hybrid game.
Tony Warhawk or Tom Clancy's Tony Hawks.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk is skateboarding across airplanes. Like, I think that, like, okay, for example, SSX was really neat when it first came out because it was like cool borders, but it was nuts, right? Yeah. So it's like this Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam on the Wii was neat because it was skateboarding, but you're going downhill, which means you're always moving, right? I think you need to combine Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam with the ballsiness of SSX. Like we just joked about Tom Clancy's Tony Hawk's, right? Like, what if – I mean, just make them crazy levels, right? Like you're going down a giant – bunch of ramps in the sky, and then you've got to grind across a bunch of fighter jets and stuff.
So make it the ideal Sonic the Hedgehog game is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And make it cartoon Tony Hawk, you know? Like, just go balls out on it. Make it, like, okay, I mean, I'm being dead serious when I say best video game I played in the last 5 years or so is probably that Trials Evolution on the Xbox Live Arcade, right? That's like the next generation of a Sonic the Hedgehog Super Mario Brothers kind of platform game, because it's got these weird physics and these insane setups. Give me a Super Mario 64 equivalent of Trials Evolution, brand it with Tony Hawk. There you go, Activision, $100 million for me, and I will hire the right people, and I will make this insane Trials Evolution inspired 3D over the shoulder Tony Hawk psycho skateboard trick racing game.
There's really no excuse for Tony Hawk to not be the best Sonic the Hedgehog game around right now.
Why the heck not?
Yeah.
They should really be doing that. Before this comeback that Tim is describing, I think the proper way to reintroduce Tony Hawk to people is to feature him in PlayStation All-Stars.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He could hit people with a skateboard. Like, yeah. Think about all the great fighting moves he could have with the skateboard when he goes up against the Big Daddy and Parappa the Rapper.
Yeah, I'd like to see him beat up Parappa.
Oh, man, that little bastard deserves it.
I think to make Tony Hawk a little more relevant again, you might have to make skateboarding more exciting for the kids again. So, I don't know, give it a little road rash or something
some dubstep.
It's only 3 years until 2015, and Back to the Future says that's when we get hoverboards. So
maybe
that's the comeback for Tony Hawk.
I actually think that with the nonchalance, the way the kid was like, hey, when Marty McFly stole that hoverboard in Back to the Future 2, I think that he would have – if hoverboards had just come out in 2015, he would have been irate. So he probably had that for like 2 years. So mm-hmm. I think next year, 2013, is around when the hoverboard
– Actually, guys, Mattel this year is introducing a hoverboard. I feel like we talked about that last week also.
No, we didn't.
We didn't. Stop. Let's just...
Pretending you're on another podcast, Frank.
Never talk about what we talked about last week. It's done.
And to Brandon's point about road rashing it, that would require some attitude. So I think the actual answer is on the cover. You have a close-up of Tony Hawk's face, and one eyebrow is raised up significantly higher than the other.
Oh, yeah.
Have The Rock play Tony Hawk.
Tony Rock.
The Rock Johnson as Tony Hawk. You did it, Frank.
What you need to do is
What if Tony Hawk played Solid Snake in the Metal Gear movie?
There you go.
Mm. Oh, that's a good way to bring him back.
You have to give Tony Hawk an electric guitar and sunglasses. It's going to give him a real edge. I think the kids are going to – that's going to resonate with the kids.
Yeah. Well, and the one eyebrow peeking up behind the sunglasses, though.
Yes,
this is sounding more and more like a Hideki Kamiya game.
Make it all – have Vin Diesel and The Rock be your opponents.
Hey, I got some cool trivia. So there was a game called Duelin' Fireman that never came out. There was a
Duelin' Fireman.
Yes, it was an FMV game,
right?
I know that
game. It was 3DO, I believe.
3DO, okay.
Yeah, it was a game about singing firemen that dueled with each other, and there were aliens or something. It was a crazy FMV game.
Steve Albini
was in it. A whole lot of guys were in it. Tony Hawk was in it, and had it come out, it would have been the first Tony Hawk game.
Steve Albini and David Yao played the fighter pilots. David Yao, lead singer of the
Firemen, not fighter pilots.
No, they were fighter pilots. They were pilots.
They were just pilots. Yeah,
they were the pilots of a jetliner in that movie, or in one of the video parts of the game.
Duel and fireman.
Hey guys, it's time for our listener question.
No. Okay, go ahead, put it up there.
Too bad, you're getting it anyway.
Toss it out. Let's hear it.
X111 asks. That's Joe X111.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
How would you design a great game around a daytime soap opera while staying true to the spirit of the show?
Farmville 2.
Dating sim. Yeah. I think a dating sim would be the perfect solution. You got your All My Children or your General Hospital or your whatever, and you can have all kinds of twists and turns and backstabbing and whatnot.
Oh man, call it All My Girlfriends.
All My Girlfriends. There you go. All My Children's Girlfriends. It's a management sim.
All My Boyfriend's Children.
And then you can continually just add content every week or month or whatever, as you can get these kind of player metrics about what people like or what they are aghast in horror toward. And
that's great.
Seriously, like I think that the Japanese dating sim genre is as rife for an off-ripping as Harvest Moon was for Farmville.
Agreed.
Sure.
I think that like somebody like Zynger could figure that out.
I mean, I wondered when this whole casual games thing was happening and we were getting all these old ladies playing games, it was like, where are the dating sims that they obviously want?
Yeah.
The video game equivalent of not just a soap opera, but a romance novel.
Romance novel, yeah. My grandma was so into romance novels.
Yeah, where's the Twilight one?
Where's the romance
soap
novel?
People don't watch them anymore, though. That's the thing. Like They're
playing Farmville. Instead,
yeah, I don't think they're waiting
Shame about Twilight is that there is a Twilight game, but it's just trivia about the series Twilight.
That's like Friends. That's like when the Friends PS2 game came out. You remember there was a Friends PS2 game, and it was just a trivia game. And one, this is probably more of a personal problem than anything, but whenever I see a licensed game for a licensed property, I expect it to be a platform game with huge heads.
Yes. Or a Smash
like Brothers, Home Alone.
Yes.
Or a Smash Brothers game. Man, I want a Seinfeld Smash Brothers.
Seinfeld Smash Brothers.
Yes. Or how about NBC Must See TV All Stars?
Nice.
I wanna know what all of the Seinfeld cast members' giga attacks are now.
Oh man.
That's a question for another week, I believe, but to answer this question.
What's the deal?
What's the deal?
To answer this question, was there a movie, am I remembering right, was there a movie about a soap opera writer who would write things and then they would actually come true and he found himself sort of in his own soap opera world?
Maybe?
Okay, well, I'm imagining an adventure game equivalent of that, which would be kind of fun. Sort of a point-and-click adventure where you're in this bizarre soap opera world and you are the only sort of normal person. And you could stay true to these sort of soap opera themes and stuff while feeling normal and in control and cool.
I wrote reams of a design documentation for a game that is an adventure game involving just dialogue labyrinths, like dialogue labyrinths that you threw them. So it's imagine like you're taking a personality test. But it's involving a character. There's a character's face on the screen. So it's a dating sim-like personality test that you then – when you get to the exit of the personality test, the end of this conversation with this NPC, as it were, you're assigned something. And it's like, okay, 3 hours later, you get to talk to this person again. But it's like, what has changed in your relationship with them? And it's like there's definitely adventure game things you can do with just – conversation systems where that's your whole game.
Tim, is that a Stephanie Myers-Briggs questionnaire there?
Ahoy!
Sorry.
What were you going to say, Totillo?
I think The Sims already does this, so I think the question is...
The Sims.
It's been answered already. Yeah, I mean, if people want to get, like, people screwing each other over and all that, that's like what you get out of watching a soap opera is all this like
I've
drama.
I've always thought of the Kingdom Hearts series as the soap opera of video games.
That's one way to go.
all these like labyrinthine relationships between people, and the plot seems to give the illusion of going somewhere, but that's actually going nowhere.
Or people unacquainted with soap operas, though. Like, so it's like a it's a soap opera for people who are too young to appreciate. It's like a new style. It's like a reboot of a soap opera. This question is about traditional soap operas, right? So I think the thing that people get out of soap operas is the verbosity of it. They get the words, right? Which Kingdom Hearts definitely has. So you would need The Sims, but with words.
I'm not sure.
What they get out of
you.
It is the emotional plot twist. The people screwing each other over tricking them. They like to manipulate it. You can manipulate it as a video game.
Those require dialogue, though. Dialogue and slow zooms in. How could you do this to me?
The reason I think that soap operas aren't really as popular as they used to be is because we now have
reality TV,
which is quote-unquote real-life soap operas. So, I mean,
I think it's the reality TV of video games.
A great
Can we
thing.
Call this hypothetical video game How Dare You?
Yes. Sure. Yes. How dare you, Bill?
I think if they were to try to tie this in with a soap opera, you could have that like that dating sim scenario. You could have the content that you've just seen on the show be playable in the game, but you can make a different outcome.
Oh.
By the way, Trauma Team, kind of the General Hospital of video games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so.
But only in the cutscenes, though. You're not controlling the soap opera-ness of it.
Hmm.
Yeah,
like
I guess
the Metal Gear Solid 4
is kind of a soap opera.
What is?
Well, there was
nothing,
that
thing. Never mind.
There was, what?
Have
create
a what?
Create a mixtape of video game music to listen to while driving your car.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Baby.
Daytona USA is the opener.
Okay.
Exactly, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I would just have Game Over. Yeah, play like 28 times in a row.
I was going to say track 2 is also the Daytona USA theme song.
Yes.
Okay, so I got some stuff that
bus music from Earthbound.
Yeah,
okay. I would put on the most of the soundtrack of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4.
Yeah. Oh, me and Brandon have listened to that in automobiles.
We think especially Sewer Surfing. Sewer Surfing's a driving song, I feel.
Sewer Surfing, yeah. Streets of Rage 3, almost all of it,
yep.
But Fuse and Cycle, those would definitely go. The Poets, that'd be in there too. Dub Slash, there we go. Those are names of songs from that.
Yeah, from Streets of Rage 3.
Yeah. And then I would also at some point have to put in the opening theme from Wild Arms. Maybe at the end, like it'll be rare that I actually get to the end of it because, I mean, who knows how
I
long.
I think instead of a mixtape, it should be an iPod playlist that you can put on shuffle if you want.
Yeah.
That was the original form of this question, but I thought that a mixtape might present some interesting constrictions.
I thought it would appeal more to Brandon's sense of living in the past. So.
Interstrictions. Yeah.
Good old past.
I would put the bus music from Earthbound as track 2 and Daytona as track 1 and then Neon Knight Riders from Ninja
Neon
Trek 4.
Knight Riders.
Neon
I would actually,
Knight Riders.
I would actually go back to the first Mother for the train music also.
That's a good piece of tune. That's what that is. It's a good piece of tunage. What would you put on there, Tortilla?
I don't have a car.
Okay. He lives in New York, is why.
I don't have a car either.
I turn off music sometimes when I'm playing video games to listen to podcasts instead.
Have you seen a movie where somebody's like riding a motorcycle, like
and
over?
And I
imagine you're in one of those.
I only listen to music when I'm running.
Man, Steven is gonna.
Let's
remember that that young Steven wrote an article about how he didn't need the audio in the video games a little while ago.
Yeah,
that's oversimplification of.
So
of
Steven,
what I wrote, but it's close.
That's not exactly what the article was about.
That's what it was about. I'm a commenter on your forums. I know everything.
So Steven's ideal mixtape for driving would be a tape.
Bunch of podcasts.
It'd be a tape of fat guys talking about video games.
Yeah.
It would be you guys. It would be this show.
Oh, nice.
Insert credit podcast.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I guess
I would put a Final Fantasy VII Crazy Motorcycle Chase on there.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy VII, Those Who Fight Further, the boss music would be on there.
Oh,
on Knight Riders, the bus music from Earthbound, Daytona.
Oh, can I put the bonus
Star Galaxy from Super Mario Galaxy 2?
I want the bonus stage from Cool Spot.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's Tommy Tallarico, isn't it?
Yep.
I would get myself some Sonic 2.
Which Sonic 2, though?
Hilltop Zone.
There, and I got to get also
Hilltop Zone.
Some of East Books 1 and 2, and also the even more than that, Dragon Slayer, the PC Engine game.
You should know that one of the working titles for this podcast before we just decided to name it after the website was Let's Kick Shell.
Nice.
Let's Kick Shell.
Yes.
Pretty good.
I go,
isn't there some great song in No More Heroes 2? That's my contribution.
Which
that
one?
Song. Whatever that song was. That song. You know the song.
The one good song.
Is it like
that song.
The motif that just keeps repeating. I think there's like 80 tracks. And
it was a song. It was a song with the guy who was talking about Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, that one.
Wait, how about that Tears for Fears song? Would you put that one on there?
No.
I would put
only something sad happens while I was driving.
No.
What about Mad World from that Gears of War trailer?
No, that doesn't count.
The
Gary Jules version.
I think it's kind of funny and I think it's kind of sad, etc.
But if we could just export real songs, I'd just put all the songs from GTA on my playlist.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
Well, neither is putting Mad World.
Okay, can I at least do the Offspring song from Crazy Taxi?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Over and over, yes. No, not over and over, but every two or three songs randomly.
Yeah.
Sometimes twice in a row.
You can only do that if you also put on Worlds Collide from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
You know what you should put on is the Gran Turismo 4 Japanese soundtrack, which is just all smooth jazz fusion made especially for the game. It's like really, really, I don't know. I don't want to call it bland or whatever. It's very extremely well-produced Muzak, if that's your thing. If you want to feel like you're in an elevator in a car at the same time.
Wangan Midnight, that's got good music.
Is it Wangan or Wangan?
Wangan Midnight.
Midnight.
I don't know if I can do that. When you guys play Grand Theft Auto, what stations do you listen to?
I listen to the classical one.
I listen to all of them. I switch around.
I listen to whatever station is on when I steal the car.
Yeah, that's basically me too. I feel like the car station is really nicely scripted for the areas you're in. So
heat of the moment, if you were stealing a car, you probably wouldn't want to change the music.
Right.
Like
I've been told that it's tiresome when I say that I don't play popular things, but I don't play Grand Theft Auto at the end.
Okay.
Once you steal enough cars that your first instinct is to change the radio station, you're kind of jaded.
I what do you call it? I actually never stole a car in Grand Theft Auto 4. I only used... The end!
Yeah, I also only used taxis. What a coincidence.
Yay! That's what I did.
Here is question 10, then we can go on to our popular lightning round.
Q10.
You must choose a single line of text or quotation from a video game to be engraved on your tombstone. Mm. What do you pick?
Bury me with my money! Yes!
Nice! Okay, that's it. Did you prepare another question? Because I think we have to end it there.
What is that?
No,
from?
I think
it's from Sunset Riders, baby.
Okay. Come on. All right. There's the end of that. Let's just have an extra long.
I don't know. I think we need to respect that and just.
Yeah.
Here's my money.
Let's run.
We're all three of us thinking that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Everyone just shrieked it at once. So I mean, come
I didn't. I
what about Totillo? What do you think, Totillo?
So I don't listen to the music of the games I'm playing. Now you think I pay attention to memorize the lines of dialogue? Yeah. Okay.
Bury me with my money.
How about Game Over? Game Over.
Game Over. Yeah.
I've got a Game Over. Yeah.
Game Over. Yeah. There we go.
Game Over.
I want people to leave with a happy feeling when they leave my tombstone.
Let's just move right on to our lightning round.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the name of a video game company, and you need to come up with a new corporate slogan. Are you guys ready?
My body is.
No.
Yes.
Here we go. Visual Concepts.
Better than those Auditorio Concepts, guys.
Visual Concepts. Something to think about.
Visual Concepts. Right. Something to look at and think about. There you go.
Microsoft Game Studios.
Actually, large and hard.
It's called Microsoft Studios, isn't it?
It's true.
Is it Microsoft Studios?
It's just Microsoft Studios now, yeah.
Microsoft Studios, we make games.
Microsoft Studios.
Microsoft Game Studios was in Japan, so...
Well, it was here, too, but they just shortened it.
But it was called, yeah.
Microsoft Studios, colon, we make games. I think that's
makers good. Of... publishers of Cameo.
SNK.
SNK.
The sound that Wolverine's claws make.
Snick. Snick. Snick.
Snick.
It's got to be some sort of acronym. SNK. Super.
Is okay. Is okay.
Super Nintendo is cool.
Okay.
I like Totillo's. Yeah, that was good.
That was
yeah.
not a very good slogan for them to have.
Era,
was yeah. it?
I like Totillo's.
What was it?
Let's go on.
SNK shiny, is okay.
Shiny Entertainment.
Right. Shiny Entertainment.
Shiny Entertainment.
Do not look directly at us.
Shiny Entertainment, not for dullards.
Shiny Entertainment. Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim.
Eidos Interactive.
Eidos?
Eidos?
No, he's talking Eidos. About the 8th OS.
Eidos? Eidos? Eidos?
Yeah, sure.
Eidos Interactive. Eidos. God. I don't know.
Eidos. DOS for your iPhone.
Yeah. Eidos, do you like boobs? We have boobs. Will you buy a game with boobs?
We put boobs in a game that didn't need them, and now we've got $1 billion. What?
That's a really long one.
We love nuns. We love nuns.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Nuns before
Westwood
Huns.
Studios.
What was that? What? Westwood?
Westwood?
Yeah, Westwood.
Wait, why are these all dead studios?
Not affiliated with Clint Eastwood.
We don't talk to empty chairs.
Hudson Soft.
Hudson Soft is also a dead studio.
Yeah, it's too soon. I can't deal with that too soon.
Oh, are you sad?
Yeah.
Frank.
Everyone loves the bee.
Yeah.
Hudson
yeah.
Soft, come on over and get stung.
Sure. Makers of bunk.
man, Brandon, you dropped the ball on that one.
No, I just couldn't do anything. I didn't want to make fun of Hudson.
Yeah, exactly.
Hudson Soft, just we too... made bonk. What?
Team Ninja.
Oh, Team Ninja, now with no Eda Gak. That goddamn guy's gone. So
why would you advertise that?
Because, some people didn't like him.
Because they have accepted failure. They are the weak dog, as Eda Gak once put it. The weak dog barks more. That they're continuing to make games indicates that they are accepting their status as a weak dog.
Team Ninja, so, the weak dog.
Team Ninja, the weak dog, barking more and more.
Magnavox.
Magnavox.
Magnavox. Oh, man.
Magnavox FMV is the future.
Magnavox, not to be confused with Magnetbox.
That's terrible.
Magnavox,
that's
your...
Simpsons joke is what that was.
Magnavox, your local dealer.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Activision Blizzard.
Oh, man. Activate your Blizzard.
Not just any Blizzard.
You are really phoning it in here.
Activision Blizzard, the activated Blizzard.
I'm gonna repeat
these
mine.
These are the worst jokes ever.
I'm gonna
Activision Blizzard, wow money. How about just wow, comma, money?
Wow, dollars.
THQ, a.k.a. Toy Headquarters.
Thick. Yeah.
Thick is definitely the best way to pronounce. It's the way pros pronounce THQ.
All right.
We're making that game for Thick.
So THQ the thickest?
Yeah, sure. Thicker. Thicker than before.
Thick Atari. Thicker.
Atari? Atari is...
Atari now with more Frenchmen?
Yeah.
Atari, whatever that means.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Nice.
Sony Computer Entertainment.
We've got a computer. I got it. Sony Computer Entertainment. If you've got the computer, we've got the entertainment.
That's actually for good.
Also, we're Sony.
Are you ready?
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Capcom.
More like Crapcom. Definitely.
Why would they make that their slogan, Tim? That's the worst thing.
Capcom. Definitely not Crapcom.
How about buy it now, buy it again in 6 months?
Yeah. That's
sure. Good.
Sega.
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 To be this, we're to be
don't cry for us, we're already dead.
To Sega be gonna make you say ga.
Jim, these are the worst puns ever. Please stop.
Gonna make you say ga.
Sega, to be this good. Me. Sega, to be this good takes releasing another console.
Gaga for Sega.
Sega, Sega does Konami, what Xbox 360 don't.
Great.
What Xbox 360 don't. Yeah, that's it.
Konami.
Employer of Olympic champions.
There you go.
Because they
that's
had people,
a pretty good one.
Konami employees won medals in the Olympics.
That's true.
Zynga.
Zynga.
Named after a dog.
Blinga.
More like Blinga.
This is terrible. Come up with a good one.
No.
It's the best.
Don't okay, do fine. Dad.
It's most the of these companies don't have slogans to start with, so it's not really.
Yeah, anything. That's why we're making them up.
Like, what's the Zynga slogan?
More money.
More money, more problems. How about that
tell
one?
Tell your friends?
More money, more problems seems like their actual thing.
Okay, our last one, and don't screw this up because this is our last one, Nintendo.
Nintendo don't suck. Yes! There you go. I don't even believe that, and I wrote that up. I'm a marketing genius.
Okay. This has been episode 10 of the Insert Credit Podcast. Joining us this week was Stephen Totolo of Kotaku.com.
Stephen,
you did it wrong again.
What?
I think he did it wrong on purpose that time.
I don't think so.
Stephen Tortilla of Kotaku.com.
I can take it.
Stephen, thank you for joining us, despite my terrible pronunciations of your name.
I had a fantastic time, thanks.
Oh, sure. Hey, listeners, here's what you can do if you enjoyed the show. You could rate the show on iTunes, give us 5 stars, tell us how great we are. We love hearing
six
that.
6 stars.
Or 6 stars if you can manage.
You can figure that out.
You could tweet about us with the hashtag InsertCredit. You could send your questions in to podcast@insertcredit.com. Or if, like Baramos, you want to answer one of our previous questions, you can send us an MP3 of 1 minute or less to podcast@insertcredit.com. You could also listen to our brand new sister podcast, the ActionButton.net podcast. Episode 1 is out, wherein we review Final Fantasy VII. I've been Alex Gorblax Jaffe.
I'm Tim Rogers.
I'm Frank Svaldi.
I'm Brandon Sheffield.
This is podcasting.
Ooh.
Drew Baramos.
Podcast over, yeah!
Drew Baramos. Hey, there's a guy on Twitter who has the name at Insert Credits, and he owns the domain insertcredits.com.
Like, does it go anywhere? Sucks.
It's just another WordPress site at the moment.
Let's see.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I should have said something about whether this was going to be the first video game podcast that could make you cry.
Oh, that would have been good. We can put that
this
in the
opportunity.
We can put that on the blurb on the site.
Do it.
I think the title of this needs to be Deal With It.
No, I think the title needs to be My Neighbor Totolo.
Yeah, you're right.
I like it. I like it. Get the Photoshops ready.
What's the deal with Kotaku?
What's the deal? Yeah, Seinfeld Smash Brothers is the best. And no, and NBC Must See TV All-Stars? Come on. God, that would be great. Friends, Seinfeld, Cheers,
so in the Seinfeld Smash Brothers, remember how Ice Climbers were like two characters in one? So who are the parents? Is it George's parents? Would they be like
yeah, George's parents are the best.
Frank and Estelle.
Frank and Estelle Costanza. Frank Costanza is one of the best TV characters of all time.
Yeah. Man, I'm playing as Putty the whole time.
So if you played as Steinbrenner, would you be invisible? Or would you only be seen... Like, how was it? How did that one work?
He'd be a shadow. Shadow-like.
Steinbrenner is Larry David's back.
Yes.
Wait, I can stop recording this. I'm going to stop... Ubisoft. Okay. The French EA.